Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, greetings, namaste. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday night, my favorite day and part of the week, and so I invite you and welcome you to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You know, we have so much fun. We cover subjects that are not necessarily spoken out loud in public, and so we really have a lot of fun on this show, exposing things for what they really are. And so I appreciate you for being with us tonight and being with us every week as we journey along this path of this thing called life. So thank you and welcome. So what we do here, you know, you always have to prepare your home when you invite people in. And so what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we start off with an inspirational message so that we can kind of just shed all the worries of the world that we may still be having carrying around with us. And so we want to make sure that we just kind of loosen them up. So this particular message is called Manifesting Abundance, and it's from My Daily Inspirational Messages that can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. Again, manifesting abundance. Thanks, God, for my life. Thanks, Allah, for grace and mercy. Jehovah, for breath. Thanks, Lord, for blessings. Thanks, Most High, for the warm blood that circulates through my veins. Thanks, Creator. Thanks, Source. Thanks, Infinite Intelligence. Thanks to the ancestors for paving the way. Thanks for overcoming and enduring the hardships and obstacles that were present. Thanks for believing in a better life that you chose to leave me. Thanks for your presence and your life. Thanks for never, ever, ever giving up or giving out. The first step in manifesting abundance is an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for all that is present in your life right now. There is a gift and a blessing in everything. As you think upon the things that you can be grateful for, the list will expand larger and larger and larger. It becomes so great that we are immersed in complete faith that we are truly blessed beyond measure. We are thankful today. Abundance is everywhere. All that is needed is the recognition of it in all of its forms. There is enough air for you to breathe to sustain your life. We do not need to manufacture more. Our life is a free gift given to us by the Source. We maintain abundance by first acknowledging it exists. Abundance is ours for the asking and proper preparation. Abundance is ours when we allow ourselves to receive it fully. Abundance is the promised inheritance of God. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Faith knows without first seeing it in physical evidence. I have faith in absolute abundance. Abundance is life. Abundance is joy, passion. Abundance is harmony. Abundance is love. I accept and appreciate my abundant blessings. The fullness of the earth is mine, and I rightfully claim it now. Thanks, God, for sustaining me. Thanks, Allah, for maintaining me. Thanks, Creator, for your awesomeness. Thanks, Most High, for loving me. Again, that's from RevSandy.wordpress.com. Let's be thankful. Let's be just actively thankful. So the next thing that we do in such a vital part of what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we invoke and we invite the energies of the ancestors. Just like in that reading that I just gave to you, we acknowledge the ancestors can because of their power, their presence, their love, and what they did to pave the way for us. So ancestors, we love you, we appreciate you, and we know that you're guiding and protecting us on this journey. And we just give thanks. We pay honor to you, we respect you, and we love you always, always. And we treasure the gifts of our ancestors. Ashe, ashe. All right. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Shifting the Knowledge, Educating the Masses. As you are aware of, this radio program has really expanded into a worldwide movement, a wellness movement that we wish to touch as many lives as we possibly can throughout the world with a number of different subjects. So it's not just talking about eating, and we're not just talking about exercising or spiritual matters, but we're talking about everything, or at least a large variety of subjects that consume our life as it is today. So we have 70 speakers, and as we pull these speakers together to bring to you the best of what they have, I know you're going to be blessed with new ideas, new information, and just new ways to look at things. And we've got everyone from a 16-year-old young teenage male who has survived being bullied, being an alcoholic and on drugs, to a 70-plus-year-old dancer who can throw that leg up and do the splits, and she is just awesome. So we just have a variety of individuals that are going to bless us with their knowledge and advice and words of wisdom on how to live a healthier life, and just to bring the education and the information to you about what's really going on, because it's been so craftedly, if that's the word, you know, I make them up all the time, but it's been so cleverly disguised how things are happening. So we're going to touch on a couple of those as we move about tonight. So my team has been invited to be a part. They usually join me on this last Tuesday of the month. And so we're going to just kind of have a conversation tonight. And we're talking about shifting the knowledge, educating the masses. And that's with the Life, Love, and Wellness Global Team. So we're going to be giving probably just having a talk. That's all. We're just going to have a talk. This is not a structured show in any kind of way. So as it comes up, it's going to come out. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll get into the show and we'll kind of talk about some of the real life that are happening today, April 24th, 2018, some of the things that you can be made aware of if you're not already. And just, we, like, again, you know, we want to shine the light on various topics. So we're going to take a quick music break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. Now, remember, audience, if you want to talk live on air with us, you call us at 516-531-9819, and you would just push 1 to let us know you want to talk live on air. So we'll be right back. We'll take a short break.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all. Because we get it out of a grocery store, and it's not food at all. I know I was telling my dad, because he liked the Pringles potato chips. I'm like, Daddy, you ever thought about how they get each one of those potato chips in that exact same shape? They never crumble. He's like, nah, I ain't gave much thought to that. Well, maybe they're manufactured in a laboratory somewhere. You cannot get a potato like that and fill up all those cans that they sell those potato chips in. Come on, Daddy. We've allowed the pressure of a materialistic society to take us away from the things that are really important.
And we eat the junk.
Like being there with your children versus working 2 jobs. So that you have this fine car.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
It's not food at all. What was such an eye-opener for me was when my grandchildren were small. So we're talking about 12, 14 years ago. And that was when I first started the juicing natural apples and carrots and celery. And my grandchildren were like, Grandma, what is this? It's not clear. You didn't buy this out the store. Oh, Grandma. They didn't know. They just had no idea what natural looked like. So then I started boiling fish. My mom don't cook like this. Can you go teach her how to cook? Because this tastes good. We don't take the time to prepare healthy meals.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food. We don't know what we're eating.
Not food at all. So now, I read this article that said one of the reasons why people are so overweight is that there's no nutritional value.
And we eat the junk.
So your body is craving vegetables. So you go and you get a hamburger, a diet soda, and some french fries, and you eat this, and your stomach is full at that moment, but just in a short period of time, your body is like, hey,
and we eat the junk.
I'm hungry again. I'm hungry again.
And we eat the junk.
So you go out, and now you get potato chips and, I don't know, candy bar.
And we eat the junk.
That was my contribution to this project from many years ago. And like my dad, I think a lot of us eat in such a manner that we're not conscious of what we're doing. We're not thinking about what it is that we're doing. So it has become extremely important, you guys, extremely important. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Tonight we're talking about shifting the knowledge. And we hope to bring you information, education, and a way to look at this life that we're living and to enhance it if that's what you desire, but at least listen to the information that the speakers will be bringing to you. The webinar will begin on June the 21st. Again, we have 70 just beautiful, beautiful, incredible individuals that have the soul of the people in their language and what they're saying and in their tone. And so you get to really feel the messages that they're delivering. And again, there are just so many different avenues and different parts of our community like that are going to be covered with these speakers. And so getting back to We Eat the Junk, which was the name of that record that just played, my nephew actually produced that for me. And at the time, I didn't really understand quite the depths of the importance of that. And I was excited because I was in the studio, right, thinking I was doing something, making music. But it's a priceless piece from the standpoint that the more we do the research out here, like reading books, Fast Food Genocide by Joel Fuhrman, who's a doctor, Pandora's Lunchbox by Melanie Warner, Salt, Sugar, and Fat by the Pulitzer Prize-winning author Michael Moss, and just a number of other books, the information, the research that these authors have done and what they're explaining to us is just like the statement that I made. This food is being created in a laboratory, and people are being tested on. So they get a combination of the salt and the sugar and the fat, and they put it on different parts of a person's tongue, and then they put them into a machine, an MRI, to find out how the food activates the different pleasure centers in the brain. And when I first read that, I was like, oh, my God, this stuff is real. There's so much research that's being done. And one of the points that Michael Moss made in his book, Salt, Sugar, and Fat, is that the study was very heavily completed in the African-American community. And so you will find more salty food, more sugary food, more foods with a high content of fat in the African-American community, and it's been designed that way. So it's not by mistake, it's not by accident, and it's not a level playing field where everybody is have the same snacks that's available in their local markets. That is not the case. So, and again, like I say, you know, like especially Pandora's Lunchbox was one that that book was gifted to me, and it just really kind of knocked me off my feet how she was talking about these foods. So the FDA, who quote unquote has the power, so to speak, over, or they're the governing body over our food source, right? But they're not really serving in a governing position, because they're telling these food manufacturers, which, by the way, you guys, were the former tobacco company. So you have the R.J. Reynolds and I can't think of the other one right offhand. But those companies that were responsible for creating the cigarettes and the lung cancer and all the other health disparities that we had associated with the cigarettes, once the dangers and the health consequences hit the news and it stuck with us, they went from the tobacco to the food. So that's just a little food for thought for you right there. So that's who's behind this food supply that we're now consuming. I don't edibles, because it's really not food. To me, once it's created, once it goes into a laboratory and they're making it up, or it's in a factory, something like that, then it's not really food. It's an edible. God gave us our food, and that's the seeds and the nuts and the fruits and the vegetables. That's what we have to sustain our body temples. But anyway, so these companies, these food manufacturers, they have come up with all of these tips that will make food stay on the shelves, I mean, for like years, like 2 or 3 years. They can last, and the food doesn't spoil and it doesn't rot. And so I just, you know, sometimes I'll be thinking about that, like, man, if we got all those additives and all those ingredients in this thing that they're telling us is food, then no wonder we have all of these disorders in our bodies. You know, our health is just, like, off the charts now. Most people, I think the number is even, the age is lower. But at one point, they were, you know, saying that if you're 60, you should be on, you know, like pills, at least 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. But now the number is down to 50. So they're looking at you, if you're 50, you're supposed to be on some kind of medication for something. And the reason those expectations are there is because they know that the food source sucks. You know, they don't even know what all of this stuff does to our body. So you see these commercials late at night, right, where they're talking about if you or a loved one took such and such and you have a permanent crippled condition, or the person died or whatever, you know, then call this number, because we're going to get you some money to see the system where it's examined, tested, researched, or whatever word you want to use, that all of that is taking place before it's allowed to be on the market. I just saw another one of those advertisements saying that women who were diagnosed with breast cancer, and if they lost their hair, became bald and lost their hair permanently, that they have a lawsuit out for that. So even that, something that, you know, we all said, or that we all believed, rather, that, you know, that's just a part of the process. Obviously, it was not. It didn't have to be, I guess. And so there's some litigation in those class action suits for women, breast cancer survivors who lost their hair permanently. So, but the numbers, I want to get back to the food right quick. So on the companies, as they're making these different additives to change the flavor or create flavors to be able to have these your mouth triggered in with satisfaction because of the taste. And all of this is being monitored. And again, the thing is, they are not, the FDA is not monitoring the safety of these additives. And so these food companies, man, they just go on hog wild with putting all kind of crap together, and it's being sold in the grocery stores, pretty much like the record said. And because we think we buy it out of a grocery store that is food, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. And so our bodies are having a hard time with processing a lot of this stuff that we're eating, especially when we don't include live living foods, you know, like having a non-GMO, like a vegetable or a fruit that the Creator actually crafted for us without the alterations that Monsanto, DuPont, Bayer, and a couple of other companies, you know, are taking God's groceries and they're taking it into the laboratory and they're adding something to it that makes it last forever and ever. I was with someone recently, and they were telling me, they were showing me these apples that they had, and they say, Sandy, I've had these apples for 2 months, and they have not changed not one iota. They still look the same when I bought them 2 months ago. So, you know, some people would probably say, well, that's good, you know, because it's cheap and it's my money. And I had that conversation with a couple of people last week, too. You know, well, it's cheap, so that's why I buy it. And it's fast and it's quick. And so we've been conditioned, we've been brainwashed, we've been led to believe that life is only good when you can get through it cheaply or fast. And so my question to you would be, so what are you doing with all this extra money that you're saving and all of this time that you no longer are putting into the loving preparation of a meal for your family? So what happens? You know, so is your family spending more time together, or are you more stressed now because you're not spending quality time together? It's just, you know, we want you to take a look at the whole picture, exactly what's going on in our families. And the families, of course, then is the center for an individual, for the individual life. And so you have the individual, you have family, you have the community, you have the city, the state, the nation, and then the world. And so if at that very core unit of relationships is falling apart because of the lack of quality time, then something is kind of up with that picture as far as I'm concerned. And so just to, like I said, talk about this food that we are, I even had someone to tell me, I get all kind of comments, and sometimes I just shake my head at people because I'm like, you can't possibly truly believe that. But this one person, and they were so honest and so straightforward with me, and they truly believed it. You can tell that they believed it from, like, out of their gut, you know. And the person said, well, Sandy, if they got all those preservatives in the food, then that must be good for me. That means it's going to preserve my body when I eat it. And I was like, whoa, okay. So, you know, we rationalize this thing maybe because we don't want to believe that it's true, that the government has tricked us into believing in the food pyramid that is just absolutely against longevity and a good quality of life. I had to stop for a minute because, you know, this thing is no joke. And we are not paying attention. We are caught up on these cell phones, and the iPhone, the iPad, the eye, and we're losing contact with each other. We're losing contact with living, with with relating to other people. A lot of our young folks, they don't even know how to hold a conversation with a person because they're always texting. You know, they got the little phone going or the iPad going. They hardly ever look up and have eye contact with you. All of this is affecting our quality of life. But, you know, oh, that's just how they are these days. That's what I hear a lot of, and I'd be like, wow, okay. So why not let's sit down and have a conversation, you know, and sometimes I'm surprised and sometimes I'm not. But to have a conversation with a young person about what's really going on, it will do them good and you good. So we're going to get back to this food situation. So these food manufacturing companies, again, that is a loose term for me, so I'm going to call them the edible manufacturing companies. They have not just found out about what this food does to the health of individuals, and they are strategically placing the worst of the foods that they've created in the laboratories in the low-income communities, and they've targeted the African-American population with the salty, sugary, fat foods. And again, it's right in the book, so you know you don't have to believe me because I'm doing my research, and so I'm finding this stuff. And they've been knowing about it for years. Again, it is the tobacco companies, the R.J. Reynolds and the other companies, that when they got caught with producing these cigarettes that was causing cancer and death in people, they went from the tobacco company to the edibles. And so now they're in that business. And trust me, it's about finances. You know, we don't want to talk about that part of it, but it's about finances. And so we're here at Life, Love, and Wellness Global. Our intention is to shine the light and to bring you the truth. And again, what you do with that is really your decision, because we can't force anyone to do anything. We bring you the different options and bringing you the truth, then you get to make an informed decision. And I believe that right there is worth its weight in gold. So, in our touching lives, again, you know, with knowledge, with compassion, with understanding of how this vehicle has been designed to create food deserts, and that whole concept right there, right? I'm like, a food desert? What you talking about? You know, like, if you've got some dirt and you got some seeds, I know that's the way it was when I was coming up, and I'm not that old, you know, like, we created a garden, and people don't even know how to do that. A lot of our children these days don't even understand that food grows from the ground. They don't even understand that. They'd be like, well, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, you know. So, amazing. It's just amazing. So, I don't know if any of you guys saw today, I think it was today, within the last several days, that there was another report that came out, and where the pharmaceutical companies have been slapped on the wrist because it's been discovered that statins, the medications that people have been told they have to take in order to reduce their cholesterol, well, it's been documented that those prescriptions, those medications, are completely worthless. They have no impact, no, they don't change anything in your body as far as making it healthier in regards to cholesterol. So you're taking that, and I've known some elders that have just, their whole personalities have changed when they stay on those statins for any period of time. They lose their their ability to have a meaningful conversation and to maintain their thought throughout the conversation. So, you know, they'll repeat themselves over and over, the same thing over and over and over again. That's I've seen in several people. Or they'll just be gone. You know, they'll be like their mind is someplace entirely different. It's different. It's in a different place than where you are right there in front of them. And so in talking with some of the children of these elders, they have been able to, you know, to listen and to take their parents off of the statins, and their parents return to their normal self almost like immediately within just a day or two. And so, you know, when I hear people say, well, my doctor say I got to take this, you know, but you're smarter than your doctor. You're with that body of yours 24 hours a day. You were with that doctor. You were with your body, you were with your body before you even met this doctor. You know what your body, how it relates to different foods, to alcohol, to cigarettes. You know how your body relates to all of that. But you do have the choice to act like you don't and to be like, well, I don't know what's wrong with me, doctor, because I'm just blowing up. Well, you eating probably bread. I know that's my case, my situation that I've had to experience. It's called a gluten intolerance. And so when I consume a lot of bread or products that have a lot of wheat in them, because our wheat is not wheat anymore, it is something that they have, again, spliced and mixed with something else so that this wheat product, wheat seeds, will last forever. You know, very few items that we consume are real food. And so for me, again, when I eat an abundance of things that have gluten in it, like breads or pastas, sweets or anything like that, I will swell up like a jellyfish, a blowfish. You know, I mean, my eyes become little slits. And so telling the truth to myself, I know that that's what happens. I could very easily go to the doctor and say, well, I don't know why I'm so swollen up, and I need some help. And, you know, the first thing that the doctor is going to give you is some steroids, and those things scare the bejesus out of me. And so, you know, if you stop eating what is causing you the problem and wash your system out, then guess what? You return back to a healthier state. But we don't want to do that. You know, I heard earlier today someone said, well, it takes too much work to change my habits of what I'm doing, so I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and I'll go get a pill. And so, you know, what do you do? I mean, people have a right to do and to live and to be however they choose to live, be. And so our intention is to bring the information to you. We talk about vaccines and how dangerous they are. We talk about medicine and how this is such a big business. Even dialysis centers, it's not a wonder why there are so many dialysis centers in the lower economic communities. You don't see dialysis center in the more affluent communities. They don't exist like they do in people of color communities or the fast foods. It's amazing how many fast food places you can find and your package stores or your liquor stores, depending on what part of the country you're in, what they're called, and just very few places where you can get actual food. Like really actual food. So this one guy, Ron Finley, in Los Angeles, he's called the gardening gorilla or something like that, because he has taken the sidewalk of his home and every place where he can would have some dirt, and he's growing vegetables. And the people in his community or people passing by, anybody could stop, you know, and get real food from out of his yard. And the neighbors, there were lots of people that had a problem with that and were causing all kinds of headaches for him. I mean, he has an alarm system on his house now that will put you in the mind of like Fort Knox, you know, because of the threats against his life that he was receiving just by providing people with food. I find that so interesting. But the food is just one part of it. We have the medical, we have the pharmaceuticals, we have different ways that make up the whole of who we are. So it's not just food, it's our thoughts. What are we thinking? Is our thoughts, is it manifesting what we want, or are we actually creating our own death with our thoughts? And so, you know, and I'm going to ask some of my team members to come on here too in a minute, but so the other day I'm with a couple of friends of mine, and we're talking about the different water in these plastic bottles. And that wasn't the beginning of the conversation, though. We initially were talking about clothing, buying, shopping for clothes, and that there's a lot of us, especially women, that has all of these clothes, and we're always buying more clothes and more clothes and more clothes. And so what do you do with this excess of clothes? You give it to Goodwill, you give it away. When Goodwill can't sell it, then I understand a lot of it goes overseas to Africa, and it affects the women in Africa whose job or whose career was in providing clothing to their communities. And so versus those women now having a job, they are being undersold by the stuff that Goodwill is sending over there that's only costing the people like 10 cents or something like that. And so, you know, we have to be mindful of the things that we do and the effect that it has on the people around us. But so we buy and we buy and we buy and we buy and we buy. Then we run out of room. So what do we do? And that was my question with these two ladies I was talking to. So what do we do now that we have all of this stuff? And it's stuff. It's just stuff. What do we do with it? We toss it aside. We throw it away. And I think when we feel that we put it in the trash can, that it's gone. We magical. I don't know. I think sometimes people believe that it just magically disappears, you know, up into the stratosphere or something. I don't know. But maybe we just don't give thought to it. But we're actually polluting our environment with all of the waste from our excessive shopping. Gotta have this, gotta have this, gotta have that. And it's being driven by the media. The media is making you think, you know, like if you don't have this, you ain't cool. If you don't have that, you ain't going to get no man. If you don't have that, you know, then you're not pretty. And so we buy all of this stuff, and we buy all of this stuff, and we buy all of this stuff. and where does it go? There was a really cool invention on Facebook yesterday where these guys have come up with this device that you put in the ocean, and it sucks all of the garbage from out of the ocean into this device. I thought that was one of the best inventions I have ever seen, because the fish are being impacted. So you got all these plastic bottles that's going into the ocean and going into landfills. And, man, come on, really, what's going on? You know, we're polluting ourselves to right on out of existence. But we don't think about it because we don't have to think. We can Google it. Google that, you know, like when we run out of air, what's going to happen when we run out of living life, where we have meaningful dialogue, interchanges with different people, fellowship, where we get to eat to live, where we're conscious of the environment, of our natural resources, that we're conscious of people everywhere. How does what I do, how will it affect the people in the third world country? How does my action right now, all right, I'm getting ready to buy 5 new outfits that I don't really need, but I'm going to buy them anyway because they're on sale. How does that affect the long run? How does that affect people in other places? Because it's not just about you. It's about all of us. We're all in this collective humanity together, and we must think about it. And so with Life, Love, and Wellness Global, talk about abortion, we talk about urine therapy, we talk about life where it's been childhoods have been stolen from people because of various situations that have happened in the family. We talk about living with this faith that is I don't even know the right word here. It is not up to other people's definition. You get to define your own faith. We talk about sexual habits and how do you create good relationships between two people. We talk about communication. We talk about counseling. We talk about just such a wide variety. And, you know, as I'm doing these interviews, I am being blessed with each person to listen. You know, like men that have lost 150 pounds because of their wife that was clever enough not to talk directly to them, but to get the message to them through somebody else, and they took it upon themselves, you know, to make their life healthier. And so, you know, we just touch on so many different aspects of community life. I just got caught up in that food a little bit because, you know, that is such an important part of how this whole cycle is working. So the food is tainted, or the edibles are made plentiful, and they're cheap because, you know, we buy cheap. If it's on sale, we need some of that, and it's cheap, you know. And so we consume this stuff that's not giving us the nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins, none of that, you know, the phytochemicals that God has so graciously placed in the foods. And, you know, some of these individuals and these companies, they say, well, you know, you need to take vitamins and you need to take a supplement. You need to take this. You need to take that. When that's because they've taken, let's say, an apple, and they've taken the apple and they've taken out the pectin and they've taken out the vitamin, I believe it's D, and whatever other nutrients is in that. And so then they say, well, you know, you have to have, take this vitamin and take that, you know, and so we're going to split it all up because we can make more money. Well, when you take and eat an apple in its pure organic form, you have everything that works together to give your body all of what it needs. And so you don't need the separate supplements and vitamins that, you know, this other company now is trying to get you to purchase because you're vitamin deficient. We just must be more and more alert to what's going on. You know, we talked about that vitamin D a couple of months ago, and the more I find out, it's not funny, but it is funny. I remember several years, maybe 8 to 10 years ago or somewhere around in that area, where most every black person that I talked to was vitamin D deficient. And I was just like, well, what happened? How, you know, why are we all so deficient, and where did this come from, you know? And so I know for me, when the nurse told me I was deficient, I was like, well, tell me what I got to eat. She said, oh, you can't get it from food. I was like, what you mean I can't get it from food? You can only get it from the sun. I was like, oh, okay. She said, well, you can't be in a car. You got to be outside in it, you know. So I'm like, well, all right. So how long do I need to be outside? Well, you can't stay outside long enough to get all the vitamin D. And I was like, what the heck is she talking about, right? So she says, well, you've got to take the supplement. And that's the only way that you can get the required vitamin D that your body needs. And so I was like, all right, but I already knew I wasn't going to stay on it long, but I was like, okay, let me go over here and get this vitamin D supplement that she wants me to take. And so I did that. Of course, you know, the vitamin D ratio went up, and I was all good after taking it. But you know how they tell you, you got to stay on that the rest of your life. I'm like, nah, I'm good. But then, and again, in doing this research, so Australia, right? I hope I'm saying these right. So Australia exports sheep, and China portion of the export was something like 8%, 8 to 10%, until a scientist in China discovered that the wool from the sheep has this greasy substance on it. And so they were making lanolin and some other moisturizers with that. But then another scientist discovered vitamin D from the sheep's woolly hair and that greasy substance that was used as lanolin and other moisturizers now have been promoted to being vitamin D. And at the same time that China's percentage of sheep grew, so did the number of people in America that became vitamin D deficient. And I just thought that was interesting. So that's one of my little tidbits for y'all. So do with it what you want to. We just have to be smarter. We got to be smarter. So that's what I got to say. This life can be so grand, but we gotta take it back. We gotta take our power back, and our power is in education, in the knowledge of knowing what we're putting into our bodies and why. For me, one of the single most conscious raising practices that I am engaged in is urine therapy. I eat better than most people. But when I don't, my body tells me. My body, like your body, is extremely intelligent. Your body gives you that elixir, the fountain of youth. But we, again, have been conditioned into, that's nasty. Oh, that's waste. No. But why is it the first thing that you got to do when you go to the doctor? You got to pee in a cup. What do they do with all of that? That they're, you know, it's just like, I know I'm jumping. It's just like when we take out the body parts, when the doctors do surgery, what happens to those body parts? And how do you know you really had cancer of something in your body? How do you know that part wasn't good? They told my mother back in 2013 her gallbladder needed to be removed because she had stones, kidney stones. So I had already, by that time, I had been doing liver cleanses, cleaning stones from out of my liver and my gallbladder. For about 13 years. So I was, trust me, you guys, I was doing my best to get this man all the respect that I could. And so I questioned him. I said, so, I mean, you just make it seem that it is mandatory for her to get her gallbladder removed. He said, well, it is. And I'm like, but how many stones does it take for somebody to lose a body part, an organ? And he looked at me like I had insulted his intelligence, right? And he says, it only takes one. I'm like, wow. And I told my mom after he walked out of the room, because, of course, she refused the surgery. I'm like, Mom, I said, I do a liver cleanse like every quarter, and I pass hundreds of stones every time I do the liver cleanse, and it's so inexpensive, and it doesn't take a long time. But because of how we eat, we build up these stones in our liver, and that's where they first start, you know. And so she was like, well, I was not going to have them. I was not going to let them cut on me anyway. But for that doctor to be so adamant, you know, like, it only takes one, I'm like, wow. So, again, I'm raising the question. So what happens to all those body parts that they say are no good, are not functioning properly? I pass at least on the real low side, I pass 100 stones every time I do a liver cleanse, at least 100. And the doctor said it only takes one. So if I, you know, anyway. All right, you guys, I have talked nonstop. And I've got a couple of my team members on if anyone would like to come on. I am going to take a quick little break. and see what we got going here. We do have one. I'm going to be right with you. Let's take a quick break, and we have Star Waters that's going to be joining us as soon as the break is over. Again, this is Life, Love, and Wellness, Sandy Rogers Show. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We're talking about shifting the knowledge. And this is with the Life, Love, and Wellness Global Team. And we're talking about our upcoming webinar that takes place in just 2 months. 2 months. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
I don't waste no more. No, no. No, I wanna. No, I coulda. No, I shoulda. No, I don't waste no more. Day I wake up and I pray, oh Lord, I thank you. This is my day, it's my day to create. My life exactly as I desire it to be. I meditate on love and peace. I meditate knowing your will is my will. So I don't wish no more.
that's another one of those joint collaborations with Anthony A.K. King and me, his auntie, and that was titled I Don't Wish No More. It talks about our power and that we're creators, co-creators with God for everything that shows up and everything that we would like to see in our lives. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We have Ms. Star Waters with us. Star, I'm going to let you have the floor, darling.
Oh, my goodness. Well, honey, you don't need no help. You did it all by yourself. You hit all the high points, the low points, and all in-between points. So you did an awesome job. But what I had going on in my mind as you were educating your listeners about the dire straits that we are presently in with our food supply, or as you call it, our edibles, the Bible verse that came to my mind was, my people will perish for the lack of knowledge. Mm. And, oh, my goodness, that is no truer statement way back then as it is right now. And you talked about shifting the knowledge. Well, how about our people shifting the thinking? We have to. My children went to an African-centered school when they were little, and they were always told to put on their African thinking caps. So this is what I want to ask the listeners who, your listeners who happen to be African-American or people of color, to put on your African thinking caps. You know, the things that we are going through right now with being eliminated, I don't even know the right word. Well, they're definitely trying to get rid of us. You've already touched on that. But this is nothing new. We have been fighting this ever since we've been here, from being on the plantation and being made to eat pig. They knew that it was against our religion as Muslims that we did not touch anything that had those kind of feet. We didn't eat that stuff. And not only making us eat the pig, but making us eat the lower extremities, the innards and all of that of a pig. And that was so that it would break our spirits. You know, so this is no surprise, okay? What you're saying, hopefully it is bursting atoms in those wonderful listening ears of your audience, and not something that, as I was told at the latest little thing that I spoke at in Portland, Oregon, about food and how it relates to African Americans racially, that I was a conspiracy theorist. And that was from my daughter, okay? I just want folks to know it wasn't anybody in the audience that just was saying, that was from my daughter, and I was hardcore because I was bringing the truth, and I didn't bring it softly. I just spoke it out. So telling you, if you didn't really understand everything that Sandy was saying in the beginning, please listen to this broadcast over again. Take out a pen and paper and write down some notes. And then take it one step further and investigate yourself. You won't even have to go anywhere, just like she alluded to. You got a smartphone. Just ask the questions and let the answers come up so you can find out from yourself. So you did a great job, Sandy, and I really guess I don't have anything else to add to your beautiful, dialogue. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. But, you know, Star, you just said something that, you know, I'm into this observation, like really truly listening at the core. And I'm always stuck like on iPhone, iPad, I did. But you just said something, the smartphone, you know, so it's like an implication that you're not you're dumb unless you got a smartphone. I had not made that connection until just now. It just, like you really said, it sounded really loud or something, you know. It just resonated with me just now when you said it. But just think about it. You know, how many people say, well, my smartphone. Well, if you're, you know what I'm saying, though?
I understand, definitely. So why not take advantage of the smartphone? If you got one, be smart enough to use it. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to know the right questions to ask. In order to get the right answers, you first have to formulate the right questions. So that's where it's going to be a little tricky, because you're going to get all kind of different places where these answers are coming from, and you have to be able to use your discernment as to the answers that you'll be getting, as to how they apply to you and your life and the life of your loved ones. So, yeah.
Yeah, yep, you're right. You know I'm gonna sit with that one though, right?
Yeah. I know I'll hear all about it tomorrow on our road trip.
You know, there was another you had posted something on the Life, Love and Wellness Global group page. It talked about Belgium's food pyramid.
Yes.
And how they classified meat as junk food. I really thought that was interesting.
I know.
Did you get
Wasn't
any more
something?
Info? Yeah,
no.
Yeah, for real.
I thought that was really very cool. Well, what I'm beginning to see.
We lost you, Star. Star. Okay, I'm not sure what happened. She had posted, so if you're on Facebook, the group is called Life, Love, and Wellness Global, and Star and I and a lot of the other group members now are also beginning to post articles in on the page or, you know, in the group. And so she had posted Belgium's latest food pyramid, which I thought was really quite interesting, and they classified meat as being junk food and animal products. So I thought that was I didn't read all of it, so I was hoping that Star would be able to share with us, but she obviously her smartphone was smarter than us, so. It kicked her off the call, maybe because she was getting ready to really lay some heavy information on us, which she always does. But anyway, so I'm going to touch on one other item in the news here recently, and that was that they did an egg recall last week or so. Due to an outbreak of salmonella. And but I remember reporting to you guys a few months ago, around the first of the year, that Panera Bread had filed a petition with the FDA because it wanted to market their breakfast sandwich as being made with a real egg, and because most the, if not all of the other establishment do not use real eggs. They use something that when it's cooked up, it resembles an egg. And the reason why the Panera Bread had to petition the FDA is because there's a ruling on the books by the FDA that says it is unlawful to define what an egg is. And so I thought that that was pretty interesting that they now are having a recall on eggs and at quite a few of the different stores. So if you've not heard about it, it's only been in the last couple of weeks. There was a salmonella outbreak in, like, a lot of the stores, Kroger, Walmart, Publix, a lot of different grocery stores were impacted by the eggs. And so what this article also said is that these manufacturing companies have created these egg-like replicas, and from the shell all the way to what's on the inside of the egg. And so they said over in Asia that those artificial fake eggs were causing a lot of health issues over there. And so, again, you know, be aware of what's going on. There's just so much, and our intention is to bring it, is to do research and to bring it to you, you know, really simply in the shortest way possible to say, okay, look, we read that and we digested it, we checked it, and this is what it says. So Star's back with us. I made fun about your smartphone, Star, while you were off, too.
I don't know what happened. I'm just talking and talking. I said, what do you have to say about that, Sandy? And what's nothing said by Sandy? So anyway, I don't know what happened. My smartphone dropped the call. Oh, wow. So anyway, so I'll let someone else have something to say from the team.
Well, I actually wanted, you know, I'm sure what you were saying that we didn't hear is important. So did you, I just found that was really interesting that, and Belgium is probably not the only country or place that's taking a stand, you know, like with their food pyramid and things. So was there any indication of why it was done or anything like that?
I don't remember the whole article, but I know that
okay.
It was meat and something else that they had classified as junk food. It was two major things. And I do know that more and more countries are coming to this, you know, this Save the Earth philosophy, because it takes so much resources just to provide hamburger or a steak for people. You know, there was another article that I saw that was saying, this guy was saying that the villagers, the women in Africa, spend all this time, you know, getting the hay or the grains or whatever to send to the United States so that the United States can feed that grain to the cattle while their babies go hungry. And how that's a crying shame. It's a crying shame. Just so we as Americans can have our beef, our burgers, and our steaks. Children in Africa are starving.
Mm.
So I think on a global, you know, view, more and more people and more countries are coming to the point of just eat plants to save our country, I mean our world, our globe, you know, because it makes no sense. You know, those people that benefit financially, the cattle people, the dairy people, you know, what's going to happen when we're all devastated? They're going to keep getting their money, and the people that digest those foods are going to keep getting sicker and sicker. Like I said, nobody is connecting the dots.
Right,
you know,
right.
Everybody's just so happy to be eating the affluent foods now, Because back in the day, you know, during slavery and after slavery and back in the 30s and the 40s, you know, black people ate more plant-based food, and they were calling it poor people's food, you know, poor people's food. Mm. But what Furman's book, the fast food genocide, what he was saying that, you know, the white people were noticing how healthy black people were by eating plant-based foods. And so where their people were getting sicker and sicker, we were thriving, you know, with our health. So I'm not surprised that this is a deliberate attempt on their part, because you know what? An army cannot fight when their soldiers are sick.
Exactly.
If we're sick in the mind and if we're sick in the body, we can't fight. We can't think. So divided, we fall. You know.
Right. Exactly.
So I mean, it's method to the madness, and it's for our demise. And you know what? We can say, you know, that's a conspiracy theory. Okay. Yeah. As
well,
my daughter
you know,
said.
Well, it's being documented, I tell you that. And just like with the vaccines, you know, and how there's such a different reaction, consequences that our African-American children are experiencing from being vaccinated. And then there's even a difference between the girls and the boys, you know, and what it's doing to our young black boys. So it's crazy out here. Another good book, and it took me quite a while to get through it, because it really raised up some emotions for me, was Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington. That is an extremely detailed book about how different groups of individuals have been singled out, and used for various experiments. Like they're using, they've used children in the foster homes up in New York to test different HIV vaccines and things like that. You know, just Some of what the medical profession has done is just absolutely, it's inhumane, but it's being allowed because there's enough dollars on the table for the powers to be to look the other way as they, abuse children, as they abuse people in their attempt to making more money.
Absolutely. And as far as the as far as children going through the that system, they mostly all of those kids are on medication, lots and lots of medication. And
yes.
I was just looking at a documentary about 2 weeks ago that talked about they start giving babies opiates from like 3 months to like 18 months old. They give babies opiates. Why would they give babies opiates?
I know,
you know,
right?
The person was talking about you could fill like three, stadiums, football stadiums of babies that get opiates from the ages of 0 months all the way up to 3 years old. You know, it's
that's
crazy.
Insane. But that was like,
it
you
is
know,
crazy.
20 years ago when they had the Ritalin, the ADHD, and all of that crap, which was not even a real health disease. It was just something that they came up with because they had created that pill, the Ritalin,
that's
you know.
Right.
And, and they had all of our children on that stuff. You know, just insane. Just But we just have to be smarter. We got to stop being under the influence of insanity and start thinking for ourselves. It's not that hard.
Right. Well, I mean, we are basically being, it's almost like we're being hypnotized to do that. Because when we watch Tell Live Vision, and then the commercials come on, many of those commercials have subliminal messages in them. So,
yeah,
you know, just like they can get you to run to your refrigerator and get some ice cream, or pick up your smartphone and call Domino's and tell them to deliver a pizza, and you don't know why the heck you're doing that, because you've been subliminally suggested to do that, you know, as well as many of the they don't do cigarette commercials on TV anymore, but many of the cigarette commercials that they had, like in magazines, and the alcohol commercials that they do have on television and in print in magazines, have suggestions of sexual content. I just found that out. So our children see these commercials. You know, they're watching it because we're watching it. So this is a lot of the reasons why our kids are acting out sexually, because in the ice cubes in the glass with the alcohol, they have written sex. Or on a when they have Sandy, it is scary. It's frightening. And then when they had, like, the cigarette commercial advertisements in the magazines, they would have, like, an erect penis that was part of the background of the two cowboys on their horses riding towards you. I mean, the wizards that do the advertising are demons. And we are being hypnotized to think and do things, and we don't even know it.
Exactly.
And we don't even know it. So that's why I said, turn the tell lie vision off. Big Brother, people, this is real. Big Brother might be in every room in your home, and you're being controlled.
Yep.
You're being controlled, and you don't even know it.
Yep, yep. Yes, ma'am.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and making a lie out of that smartphone and calling us back. That was just, and that was so precious to me. I was like, she was talking about that smartphone. It paid her back. Oh, but look,
my
guys, we've had a ball here with you tonight. We've talked about shifting the knowledge, educating the masses, bringing information to you about some of this stuff that's been so cleverly disguised. And like Star says, we've been hypnotized to believe the lies. So here on Life, Love, and Wellness Global, our worldwide wellness movement, our goal is to shine a light on the truth and to share that with you in a language that is really, really easy to understand. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And always, we wish you the best of everything in this life. And we will see you next week, next Tuesday. Stay tuned. We love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.